good morning. Thanks for joining us on this pretty morning. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. Ton, texter is saying, are they going to be okay to plant their dahlias today?
No. They need to
too early.
Wait.
Okay.
That always comes off so blunt. I apologize. What I would suggest is they wait until danger of frost is past.
Okay. When will that? That won't be till what, May?
Late April into early May.
Okay. All right. Let's take a call now. Let's see who's been waiting the longest. Let's take a call from Kathy in Orem. Good morning, Kathy.
Hello. Good morning.
What can we help you with this morning?
I believe I have necrotic ring or summer patch in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the north side of our home. It's in a shady area. Our front lawn is beautiful, green, wonderful all year. We've been fighting this for a couple of years now. And in the summer, like I say, our front lawn is beautiful, but the back lawn is just, it dies in spots, and it's just a mess. We've had different companies come out and try to work with it. We put chemical on it. And now my husband is thinking about ripping out the lawn, and I think you have to go so deep or something in to get the dirt out and bring in new dirt. How deep do we need to go to do that?
Don't do that, because what's to stop the spores from just blowing back in? So what I would actually do, if you're to that point, I mean, the nuclear option would be to kill out the lawn, use a sod cutter to take it up, and then reseed it with resistant grass varieties. And so generally ryegrass and turf type tall fescue are resistant, and they look a lot like Kentucky bluegrass. You can find some resistant forms of Kentucky bluegrass. The other option would be to aerate like crazy, and what you would do is just pull out all those plugs, and you could do that now, and then go in, and I know that Steve Regan's carries a grass mix that they just call necrotic ring spot resistant grass. And you would top dress with that seed and kind of time it with a rainstorm so it gets driven toward the soil level through the thatch. And you would do that in the spring and fall every year for 2 or 3 years to encourage those necrotic ring spot resistant varieties to come up. And you would just rehabilitate your lawn that way. It takes longer and more patience, but you don't destroy your lawn.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay.
And I'm saying that you probably need to do seed because I don't know of any, well, I know maybe biograss, but there's not many sod companies that grow a turf type tall fescue lawn. So you could check with biograss, and I'm not sure if the others do. But you may, most likely, you'll need to do that from seed.
Okay. And it's called neurotic,
necrotic, NEC, like necrosis. So if you want that, you can use any turf-type tall fescue mix. And there's several of them out there. You could stop by a local garden center and just ask, like if you went over to J&J Nursery, they would have a couple of them, one called Turf Saver and another one called Team Junior. And I think that like Tri-City and Valley would carry something similar. You've got Layton Farm right there that may have something. So there's several places that you could check out. But it's just, that's where you'd buy the mix. Now, if you wanted to do the aeration, you could still do the fescues from local garden centers or farm stores, or if you wanted to go to Salt Lake and get what they're calling necrotic ring spot resistant grass, you can buy a bag from them. It's a little more expensive that way because I think it has some bluegrasses in it, but I would top dress mainly with turf type tall fescue.
Okay. Wonderful.
All right.
Appreciate your help.
Kathy,
well,
thanks.
When you're tearing that, if you tear the lawn out, you're not going to be saying wonderful then. And it's a lot of work.
Thanks, Kathy, for your call. Donna and Sandy has a similar question, Ton. So let's take her call this morning. Good morning, Donna.
Yeah, so that's what I'm taking notes from what she said and what you told her. So you say to aerate because we had a company come and they said, do not aerate.
Well, the reason they're not aerating is because you can spread it. So what you would need to do is do the affected area last and then get it off the lawn and wash the aerator.
Okay, affected area last. And then so like then do I pick up the little things?
No. Just leave them alone and let the sprinklers and the rain wash those back into the soil. Necrotic ring spot is really common in soils that are overwatered, really heavy clay, or compacted. And that's why aeration, if you do it carefully, can help. Now, if you are still wanting to go the fungicide route, aeration can help if you use that method to where you do the impacted area last and then wash the aerator thoroughly as much as you can. That can help. You know, a lot of times, one thing we didn't discuss, and I didn't purposely, is that if you're still trying to do things before you top dress with a resistant seed or replace the lawn, is the last case scenario, is that a complete fertilizer like Triple 16 applied at half rates through the summer can help the grass recover more quickly. So there just isn't a really 16? Good once-and-done solution. Yeah, 16, 16, 16.
Okay. Now, you were talking about the seed, and you were saying it's at Tri-City and J&J. Is there any place here in Salt Lake Valley that has it?
Many garden centers will carry bags of grass seed, and what you're looking for is something with primarily turf-type tall fescue and perennial rye, but I would veer toward the turf-type tall fescue because it's just a more durable grass.
Okay, so I've written that down. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Thank you. Next texter is asked.
Now, I should...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, really quick, Maria, I should say that USU has a very good fact sheet on necrotic ring spot. And if you Google USU and necrotic ring spot, it'll come up. And I'd highly recommend that both callers read through it.
All right, next texter is asking, what is the best way to get rid of moles?
Oh, boy, there's a fact sheet on that, too. If they're making the volcanoes in the lawn, what you would do is knock all the volcanoes down and then watch for a day and see where the fresh volcanoes are. And then I would go to a farm store or a garden center and I would look for the actual traps. They're almost like, well, not mouse traps, but it's the same idea to where most of them will mechanically kill the mole or the vole, whatever, not vole, but the mole, or if it's anything else. Anyway, so I would recommend doing that if you've got the volcanoes. If that doesn't work, then you could head toward what we would call not really a fogger, but they're almost like a smoke bomb that you light off and then cover one end of the tunnel to see if you can either drive them out or suffocate them. But to get rid of them usually means you, what we would politely call, destructively harvest them. And so I would start with the traps, and if that doesn't work, then maybe have the smoke bombs. Now, Dave Meekham's our top secret go-to guy on the moles, and I'm not sure if he's in yet or not, but if he's in, he's had success at getting rid of them.
Nope, not in quite yet this morning.
And okay.
We're going to take a break. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions. A lot of people asking questions today. The number to text, 575-5500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your calls, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. We do have one texter asking, is Ton, they want an opinion as to whether vinyl garden boxes are safe for the environment and health, or is it just better to, and safer to use cedar?
Personally, if I were doing gardening boxes, the vinyl, I wouldn't mind using them. I personally wouldn't, but for just different reasons. I've noticed that over a couple of years, they have a tendency to bow out a little bit in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I just, my OCD tendencies kind of bothers me, and I don't like to look at it. But in and of themselves, I wouldn't hesitate to garden, but I know a lot of people out there are just really concerned about the plastics off-gassing things into the soil. And if you're that concerned about it, then I would go to the local lumber store, Home Depot, and get either just construction-grade lumber, like, you know, 2x6s, and build some boxes, or cedar or redwood. You can spray those with linseed oil to help preserve them. A gardening box made out of something like Douglas fir that's not treated will usually last about 5 years. If you treat it with linseed oil once a year, maybe 7 or 8, a lot of the redwood boxes will last 15 to 20 years.
All right. Let's take a call from Lael in Provo. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
What is your question this morning?
My quick question is, how long does dormant oil have to be on a tree before the moisture hits it and it will still be effective?
A few hours. I mean, what it's going to do, it'll do relatively quickly, because what you're doing is spraying it on there, and how it works is that it suffocates whatever it comes into contact with, or it may break down some of the oil, you know, their barriers that they have. But you're mainly using that to coat little holes in their protective shell, if it's an egg, or even if they're an overwintering adult. And that oil plugs up their breathing tubes, in essence, and they die that way. And so a couple of hours would probably do it. 24 hours would be better. But if you got 2 or 3 hours, I'm confident that it did the job.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Let's take a call from Dee Dee in Kaysville. Good morning, Dee Dee.
Hello, how are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Listen, I have some thornless boysenberry plants that I bought 2 weeks ago at the garden center. They're in pots, about a 4x8-inch pot. And I just didn't know if it was too early to put them out or if I can put them out today. And also, what do I need to put in my soil?
Well, nothing in your soil. Blackberries are relatively adapted to our soils as long as they're not extremely salty. But the boysenberries themselves, which are blackberry-ish, are more of a Pacific Northwest plant, and they're not hardy in many areas of the Wasatch Front. And so if you're up in the bench areas, you have a lot better chance of them taking and giving you fruit than being down at the bottom of the valley, living in fairly close proximity to the Great Salt Lake or Utah Lake.
Yeah, I'm up on the bench just west of 89.
Okay. So if you were to plant those, I would just go ahead and get them in the ground. I mean, that's old orchard area, and I think you're fine. And just keep an eye on them, and you may, to get fruit over the years, have to pull the vines off the trellis and put them on the ground and cover them with straw or something, and then put them back up in the spring.
Okay. Okay, so nothing, don't put anything in the soil, no peat moss, no vermiculite, no compost.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, a little compost wouldn't hurt anything, but it's not absolutely necessary.
Okay.
You are in an area, especially if your yard's established, that has at least decent soil, and I just wouldn't worry that much about it.
Okay. And it's no problem putting raspberries next to them?
Well, as long as your distances are fine, I would keep your rows. I'd either put them adjacent to each other and still space the plants out quite, you know, 8 or 10 feet.
Okay.
Or I would make the rows 10 feet apart.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next texter is wondering about a fertilizer for raspberries.
You really don't need to do a lot of heavy fertilization, but you fertilize them twice, once around now and then once again in late May or early June.
All right.
If they haven't had their soil tested, 20-0-0 is usually fine, or 16-16-16.
All right, a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll be back with more on the KSL Greenhouse.